Today we're in our third and final study in the life of King Solomon. He was chosen by God to be the third king of Israel, following King Saul and King David, King Solomon. And he was famous for his God-given wisdom. We learned about him the last couple weeks. He wrote three books that made it into our Bible. So he's a writer of three biblical books: Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. And today I'd like to highlight one of his famous sayings. In the Song of Solomon 2:15, he said, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyard." What does that mean? What might Solomon be warning us of? You know, farmers built fences around their vineyards to keep animals away from the grapes. But the little foxes, they were too crafty and small, and they could burrow under the fence or slip through a hole in the fence. And if they did, the vineyard would be ruined. Do you think Solomon here is giving us farming instructions about keeping the foxes out of the fields? No, he was stating a very important principle. We often guard ourselves against big dangers while overlooking the smaller, more subtle dangers. That's what he's saying. Sometimes it's the little things that trip us up in life. Have you found that to be true? The little things trip you up. You're ready for the big challenges, but not so much the little ones. You pass the big tests, but maybe you fail in the small tests. That's what this is about. Unfortunately, Solomon didn't take his own advice. He started so well. He asked God for wisdom. He applied his wisdom to ruling his people. He was a fair and just king. He built a beautiful temple where God might be worshipped, and he made Israel into a powerful, influential nation. It was the height of Israel's power when Solomon was king. But he allowed a few little foxes to slip in. He made a few compromises with his walk with God. He failed to obey God in some small areas of his life. And as a result, he drifted away from God. Isn't that sad? Wisest man, yet he drifted away from God. It wasn't a sudden collapse, but a gradual one. Kind of like erosion. Little by little, the foundation was compromised and undermined until finally the house collapsed. You play that game Jenga? It's like pulling out those little blocks, little by little, until it gets weaker and weaker, until the thing finally falls down. And that's what happened in his life. He looked strong, he looked powerful, and he was, but he allowed little things to come in and undermine his relationship with God, and eventually he drifted from God. Now, we've been in this series only 3 weeks. We spent a long time in the series on David, but I divided Solomon's life into three eras. Let me remind you of those three eras. First, we looked at his younger years, where he did very well in humility. He was only 20 years old when he became king. He asked God for wisdom, and God granted his wish, made him the wisest man in the world. People came from all over the world to hear his wisdom. The application was very clear: choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. And our verse was, "If any man lacks wisdom, as Solomon did, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally." And we are like Solomon. We lack wisdom to make good choices. So we need to ask God every day for wisdom. So we need to choose wisdom, as Solomon did. The second era of Solomon's life was his glory years. And he did great there too. We talked about it last Sunday. He built a magnificent temple for the worshiping of God. Remember the special place for the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies. He spared no expense. He cut no corners. He used only the finest materials, best workers. And God blessed this temple by making his presence known. Remember the cloud. By fire, cloud by day and the fire by night came and rested on this temple. And the application for us was very clear: choose excellence Choose excellence. Like Solomon, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So choose wisdom, choose excellence. Today we've come to the latter years of Solomon's life, and I wish I could say that he ended well. You'd think a guy with all that potential and all that wisdom, he would do so well, but he didn't. He didn't. As he grew older, he drifted away from God. He made some subtle compromises. He became careless in his walk with God. He allowed the little foxes to slip in, little compromises, to sneak in and wreak havoc. The application for us is clear. We talked about choosing wisdom, choosing excellence. The third one is choose obedience. Choose obedience. He didn't obey in every area. The verse is, to obey is better than sacrifice. Solomon didn't always obey God. He thought he knew better, I guess. So we learn this lesson by his mistakes. I wish we could say that we could obey because he obeyed, but we should obey because he didn't obey, and he caused him to drift from the Lord. God wants us to obey him. Amen? Does not want us to disobey him. We need to obey him in every area. Worship, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Worship is worthless unless there's obedience to God. Service is worthless unless we obey God. Solomon did a lot for God. He made a temple. He built a city. He built a great kingdom. But ultimately, his disobedience derailed his life. It doesn't matter how strong and how powerful and how smart he was, he had little instances where he just disobeyed God. And he knowingly did it, blatantly did it. So I've titled my message, Catch the Little Foxes. I'm using Solomon's own words. I wish he would listen to himself. Catch the little foxes because they'll ruin the vineyard. As we read highlights from 1 Kings 9 through 11, I hope we can identify some of the little foxes that ruined Solomon's life. Now, I know there's more, and there's more that could be talked about. We all have these little indiscretions, little areas where we disobey, and we need to look for those, weed them out. I think we'll discover that we may be dealing with the same kinds of little foxes that Solomon did. All right, let me read beginning in 1 Kings chapter 9. And we'll just kind of catch a few verses through 9, 10, and 11. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord, that the king's and the king's house, of his palace, that all Solomon desired to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he appeared to him in Gibeon. Do you remember the first time? God appeared to him and said, I'll give you whatever you wish because you love me with all your heart and you're like your son, like your father David. He says, I want wisdom that I might be able to lead your people. So here, God appears to Solomon a second time. What an honor, what a privilege that must have been. This is the peak of Solomon's reign. This time, God gave him a promise and a warning. A promise and a warning, because God knows what happens when pride and arrogance come in, and he became a proud and arrogant king. Let's notice, first of all, the promise. Verses 4 through 5, chapter 9, 4 through 5. As for you, Solomon, if you will walk before me, and as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and you will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised your father David. This is one of those if-then propositions. If you will stay true to me, if you will obey me, if you will walk in the way, if you will do what I ask you to do, if you keep my commandments, if you follow after me, I'm going to bless you. Isn't that a wonderful truth? David was blessed because he obeyed God. Solomon would be blessed if he, like his father David, obeys God. And that's true today. We will be blessed if we obey God. Obedience equals blessing. Obedience equals blessing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, the first step in obeying God is submitting your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the biggest message. God sent his Son that we might have our sins forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. That's your first thing you need to obey, is to believe in the Lord Jesus. Trusting Christ as your Savior opens the door to God's blessings. God can only bless those who obey Him, who trust Him, who follow Him. God continues to speak to Solomon. This time it's not a promise, it's a warning. And again, it's an if-then. Beginning in verse 6. But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So there's a negative side to this equation. If you disobey me, turn away, do not keep my commandments, ignore me, then I will cut you off. That eventually happened. You know the history of the Jews as they eventually were taken off to Babylon and their temple was destroyed and they lost their city. This nation did not stay true to God. It can't be any clearer than this. God promises to bless us if we obey Him. God promises to discipline us if we disobey Him. That's the lesson throughout the Bible. Blessing comes from obedience. Discipline comes from disobedience. How about you? Are you obeying God? It's the same God that said this is the same God we have today. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will bless you if you obey Him. He will discipline you if you disobey Him. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Doers of the word. Obedient is what He wants. Now let's turn to chapter 10 and try to identify a few of the areas where Solomon began to compromise, some of the little foxes that crept into his life and that drew him away from the Lord. Number one, I'm going to list three, and there's a little outline in your bulletin if you like to write notes, but Solomon compromised with his wealth. Solomon compromised with his wealth. Now let me clarify that God gave him great wealth. Wealth was one of the ways God blessed Solomon. Now, He hasn't blessed me that way. I'm not a wealthy person. But some of you, you've been blessed with wealth. How you use it and how you regard it is important. No man can serve two masters. You love one and you hate the other. No man can serve wealth and the Lord. So be careful if you have wealth. Let's read chapter 10, verse 23. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth. At that time, he was greatest king on the planet in riches and in wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his heart. So this is a good thing. This is evidence that God was blessing him. But as we read specifics about Solomon's wealth, we notice a few things that were forbidden that he began collecting. And it was listed there in Deuteronomy 17 when we read it. You'll catch it. Verse 26. Now Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. And he had about 1,400 chariots and 1,200 horsemen. 12,000 horsemen. And he stationed them in the chariots' cities with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem. And he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowlands. Also Solomon imported horses from Egypt and Kew, and the king's merchants procured them from Kew for a price. A chariot was imported from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, a horse for 150, and by the same means they exported them. Here's what we learn. We learn that Solomon became infatuated by horses. He became a horse breeder, horse trader, a horse importer, a horse exporter. And who was he doing business with? Egypt. We just read in Deuteronomy 17 that he was forbidden to buy horses and collect horses and multiply horses. And it was forbidden to buy those Egyptian horses. This is exactly what he's doing. God specifically forbade him collecting and trading horses. This was blatant disobedience to God's revealed word. God had told him very clear what to do and what not to do. But Solomon loved horses, so he simply ignored God. He put horses ahead of God. He said, I love horses. I don't care what God said. That was a long time ago. It doesn't apply to me. He allowed his wealth, specifically his horses and his chariots, to distract him from fully following the Lord, fully obeying the Lord. Surely he thought, well, that's just a little thing. No big deal. But he became a little fox that contributed to his fall. He was not obedient in the little things. And that became a big thing. Let me share another little fox that Solomon let slip through his guard. Number two, Solomon compromised with women. He compromised with his wealth. He began collecting things he shouldn't. And he compromised with women. He began collecting women. In Deuteronomy 17, we read in our scripture reading that Israel's kings were not to multiply wives. But yet that's exactly what Solomon did. Like most men, Solomon was attracted to women. Aren't beautiful women often called foxes? These little foxes slipped through. I mean, he just could not pass a beautiful girl. Let's read about it, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. He loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, the Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite women, from all the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love. He had very clear scriptures, don't associate with foreign women. So he was doubly compromised. He was multiplying wives, and they were foreign wives. Hebrews were supposed to be married only to other Hebrews. How many women did Solomon love, he says? Look at the verse 3. He had 700 wives. I would call that multiplying wives, wouldn't you? 700 wives and 300 concubines. So he was involved with 1,000 women from all over the world. He had a harem that was to be envied from all the other kings. Polygamy, by the way, was practiced in the Bible. That doesn't mean God ever blessed it or condoned it. Genesis 2 gives us God's pattern for marriage. It's one man, Adam, with one woman, Eve, and to live together and be fruitful and multiply. These kings, they did exactly what God said not to do. They multiplied wives. So Solomon had a weakness for women. He allowed the little fox of lust to control his life. Men nowadays collect pornography and pictures, images. He didn't have that option, so he just collected the women themselves. But we are so guilty, men, of letting lust be that little fox that ruins our hearts and our lives. We need to be careful. Submit that to the Lord. Did Solomon know better? Sure he did. We read in Deuteronomy 17 that the kings had handwritten copies of God's word. They were to write out God's laws, and they were to read them daily. So yes, he knew better, but he did it anyway. And maybe he read this consistently when he was young and when he was wise, but as he got older, maybe he neglected reading God's word and obeying God's word. This was blatant disobedience to God's revealed word. Solomon loved women, so he simply ignored God. He loved horses, so he ignored God. He loved women, multiplied women, he ignored God. Are you ignoring God when he speaks to you? If so, you're in danger of drifting away from God in the same way that Solomon did. Don't harden your heart. Don't get a calloused heart. Don't stop listening to God. Soften your heart. Remember little Samuel? He said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Your servant is listening. You need to be listening to God and obeying God. So we've seen two little foxes that slipped into Solomon's life that led to compromises. His love for wealth and horses and his love for foreign women. And as a result, number three, Solomon compromised in his worship. Compromised in his worship. He compromised in his wealth, compromised with women and compromise with his worship. Verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father was, had been. What a sobering verse. Solomon allowed the foreign wives to distract him. They became more important to him than God himself. Here we see the full effect of the little foxes. They ruined the vineyard of his life. They spoiled the fruitfulness of his life. He's entered into the greatest era of his life, and he's drifting away from God. He could have the most power, the most influence for God, and he's drifting away. Little compromises, when left unchecked, eventually lead to a total collapse. The story of Solomon only gets worse. I wish it could get better. Look at verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Amorites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully, as David his father had done. In order to please his foreign wives, Solomon began worshiping false idols. False idols. He knows the one true God. God has appeared to him twice. And he starts worshiping stones and made-up idols. What a tragic thing. And if this wasn't enough, he actually began erecting temples. He'd already made a temple for the Lord. So he started making temples for these idols. Verse 7 continues, and Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, in the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Thus also he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. He said, well, you need an idol for a temple for your idols, and you need a temple. So he started building temples. Probably nothing like Solomon's great temple, but still, his heart was divided. He began worshiping idols. Did Solomon know better? Yes. But he did it anyway. This is blatant disobedience. Does this describe you? Are you living in disobedience to God? You know what he wants you to do? And you say, no, I know what I want to do. Deliberate disobedience. You will never have God's blessing in your life. If you're living in disobedience to the Lord, you can expect God's discipline. Solomon experienced it, and so will you. Look at verse 9. Now the Lord was angry at Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. You've had two opportunities face to face with God. And he's not that old, by the way. So it's not like it's ancient memories. He knew better. Verse 11, so the Lord said to Solomon, because you've done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Sadly, the rest of Solomon's reign was marked with conflict. He had opposition. He had, for years and years, had the most peaceful reign, profitable reign. And now it became a reign of conflict. If you're living in rebellion against God, you're forfeiting the peace of God. You're giving up the peace that God gives you. You'll only experience conflict and turmoil. That's what we learn from Solomon. Is he went from a peaceful state to forgetting about God and drifting away from God and going to turmoil and conflict. After Solomon died, there was a civil war. The United Kingdom of Israel that had those three great kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, became a divided kingdom. With kings to the north and kings to the south, you had Israel and you had Judah. And that was the history of the Jews from that time forward. We will end this study by reading about Solomon's death. chapter 11, verse 42. Thus the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David, and his son Rehoboam reigned in his place. Solomon became king at age 20. He reigned for 40 years. So how old was he when he died? Just 60 years old. It's not like he was an old, forgetful, senile man. He knew what he should be doing, and he deliberately disobeyed God. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me close by reminding you of the three choices associated with Solomon. We've talked about this several times. Number one is choose wisdom. One thing we learned from Solomon is we can choose wisdom. Will you choose wisdom? Will you choose to say, God, give me wisdom? If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Choose wisdom. That's the lesson we learned from Solomon. Second lesson we learned from Solomon is choose excellence. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Solomon was a good example of one who gave his all when he built that temple. And third lesson we learned from his mistakes is choose obedience. Choose to be obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want you to repeat these words with me, but add the word I. I choose wisdom. Is that true? Are you going to choose wisdom? I choose excellence.
I choose excellence.
Will you be the best you can be at all and give everything to the Lord and to your work? Number three, I choose obedience.
I choose obedience.
Are you choosing to obey God? Don't make the same mistake. Don't let the little foxes sneak in. Don't let little disobediences slip in. Choose to obey God in every area. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this fun little study on Solomon's life. Thank you that we can learn from his mistakes and his victories. Lord, help us to be honoring to you in all that we do. Help us to choose wisdom, excellence, and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.